The book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah chapter 64. I want to talk to you from my heart. I really do. I'm privileged to be here. It's an honor for me to be here and to stand here and to proclaim the gospel. And we appreciate you great people. And the work that you're doing here and all. But I'd sure love to see God help right here this morning, wouldn't you? I really would. I really would. The book of Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. Here the writer says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." He says, "And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us, and has consumed us because of our iniquities." He says, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter. And we all are the work of thy hand." We all are the work of thy hand. As we look at these scriptures here, verse 6 and 7, when it talks about all of our unclean things, all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf. Our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Then he goes on to say in verse 7, he says, "And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee." There is none that calleth upon thee, thy name. I want to tell you, and it goes on to say there that even me putting in my own words, it's though that God has just turned his face from us. God has hid his face from us. If we stop there, and if just right there, Brother Steve, and if we looked at that, it'd be a very, very sad story. It'd be a very sad ending, a sad story, if we stop right there. But thank God, as we look on at verse 8, he says, "But now, O Lord," he said, "thou art our Father." He said, "We are the clay, and thou our potter. And we all are the work of thy hand." We all are the work of our hand. As we look at verse 8, there's a big change. And what was it that brought the difference? What was it that made the difference? What was it that brought the change? I tell you what I believe that it was, in putting it into my words here, where he said there in the last part of verse 8, he says, "And we all are the work of thy hand." We all are the work of thy hand. That lets me to know that somewhere that God, he got his hand in the situation. God got his hand on the matter. Early this morning, the Lord began to deal with me, and I've got some things jotted down here. I might stay with them, and I might not. I want to obey God. I really do right here this morning. I feel that the Lord placed a burden on my heart for somebody right here this morning. Even this meeting right here. Brother Steve preached so wonderful last night. I'm glad, you know, for those that comes, you know, to the altar. But my wife tells me that I'm never satisfied, you know, with a lot of things, especially when it comes to church work and things like that. You know, when Brother Steve was a preaching and the way that he was a preaching, you know, I just looked for people just automatically to get right up, begin to run right down that aisle. I mean, and seek the face of God. Come on. For some reason or another, I just felt, you know, that kind of a need right here among us. And early this morning, and the Lord are dealing with me, and I feel like the Lord is speaking in my heart that God is saying to somebody right here in this meeting, I'd like to get my hand on that situation. I'd like to get my hand in it. Come on, when God gets his hands in it, I want to tell you, it can make all of the difference in the world. Come on, can you say amen? Brother Griner, when God gets his hand upon it, come on, help me right here for just a little while. I don't know whether I'll be here 50 minutes or not. We might be here longer than 50 minutes. Come on. I would to God that we could get beyond what we're going to have for dinner and get beyond shooting for a goal that we're going to be out of here by 1 o'clock, church. We've got some needs among us that is more important than our physical needs. Come on, can you say amen? What if there was somebody right here this morning that is under the sound of my voice? Come on, and this could be your last camp meeting, my friend, and God are dealing with you. I'm not trying to put a skewer in you. I'm not trying to do that by no means. But I want to tell you something. Brother Leon Head might not have the words. Brother Neil Bridges might not have the words. Brother Steve Gentry might not have the words. But there's a God in heaven that is wanting to get his hands on somebody's life right here in this meeting, my friend, because God is the only one that's going to be able to make the difference. Come on, can you say amen? And this brother that preached before me right here this morning, he preached so good, and it is going to take the spirit and the power of Almighty God. Come on, can you say amen? Come on, church, I tell you what I'm longing for to see in the day and the hour that we are living in, and that is for all time Holy Ghost conviction to come back into our services and to come back among us and to fall in the house of God. Come on, it bothers me to see people. I'm not being judgmental right here. Don't think that I am. It bothers me to see people that knowing that there is needs in their heart and knowing there is needs in their home to come to services and to come to camp meeting and come service after service after service, and then they leave, my friend. It's just like they know how they got things programmed. They know that when the altar call is going to be given, they know they can get right up and walk right out. They begin to play with their children. They begin to play with the little toddlers. Come on. And some of them begins to play with children that is not even their children. They look for things to do. Come on. Can you say amen? It lets me to know that there is a need there, my friend. But it also lets me to know that they know how to go and things, and they know how to move. But did you know what I'm a praying for in this meeting right here? Is for conviction to fall among us, because I'm a feeling, Brother Joey Dean, that God is wanting to get his hands on somebody's heart and somebody's life right here in this meeting, and to change you to where you will be a new creature in Christ, and old things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new. Come on, help me, come on. Verse 7, God has hid his face. But then in verse 8, where it says, we all are the work of thy hand, the hand of God. I've had people to look at me, and I don't consider myself to have a very big hand. But I've had, my hand is bigger than some. I've had people to look at me and say, oh, and laugh at my hand. My fingers might not be very long. My hand might be thick. Just look at my hand. And some has told me, Brother Steve Gentry, oh, said Brother Lynn, said you got fingers that look like tree stumps. I know all of y'all going to walk around here after a while or after we eat. You're going to want to come up and look at my hand. Are you not going to want to look at it? You're just going to look at it at a distance to see really and truly if they are. They've laughed. They said you've got fingers. They look like tree stumps. That don't bother me. Come on, that don't bother me. I'm just thank God I got a hand. Come on, can you say amen? I want to tell you something. I said that to say this. When God gets his hands on some problems, and when God gets his hands on some needs right here, if we can get our idea, if we can get our opinion, if we can get it out of the hand, our hands, and place it into the hands of God. Come on, help me right here for just a little while. Did you know that we've got a generation that is a coming on? Come on, it's coming on us fast. They say we no longer have to live like that. We no longer have to do that. Come on, help me right here for just a little while. But listen to me, dear child, we're not your enemy. And I am not your enemy. Come on, help me here. I am one that loves you and cares for you. But if you could get your ideas, if you could get your opinions out of your hand and put it into the hand of Almighty God, there is a God in heaven that can make all of the difference if we'll just get it out of our hand and get it into the hand of God. Come on. Can you say amen? There's a lot of things. I'm trying to condense this down right here because I feel like God is wanting to help somebody right here this morning. I feel like that there is a cry that is coming out from somebody's heart right here this morning that you are wanting help and that you are needing help. I could have gotten my wife to come up here and sung and to kill a little bit of time, but for some reason or another, I felt like going right on and preaching this morning because I feel that there is an urgency of the hour and that there is an urgency of the day. Come on, we can get relaxed right here in this tabernacle with the air conditioner blowing. Come on, and we can get cool and be relaxed. And some of you might be too cool and you might be a little bit cold. But I want to tell you what, get a blanket and wrap up a little bit and let's let God have his way right here this morning in this house. Come on, I'm a feeling the good Holy Ghost is a pulling for somebody right here this morning, my child. Hey, I want to tell you something. It might not be your child, but it is somebody's child that there is a God in heaven that loves. And to come on, and the devil would love to destroy and to send him to a devil's hell. But that's the reason that we have meetings like this right here. You know what? I'm a feeling the pull of the Holy Ghost right here this morning. A pulling for somebody right here in this tabernacle. Oh, help me while I preach. You see, we look. You don't fall out with me, brothers. I believe in wholeness from the crown of my head to the end of my fingers to the sole of my feet. I believe in that. I do. You see, God's hands are powerful. God's hands are great. God's hands have got strength in them. But there's another thing about the hand of God. His hand is also gentle. Come on, can you say amen? Help me right here for a little while. It's good to get up here and to preach on the wrath of God and the judgment of God. Come on, I'm all for that and we need that. But did you know what I'm a feeling this morning? I'm a feeling a gentle tug of God's hands right here this morning that is wanting to help somebody that is under the sound of my voice. But how big are God's hands? Brother Steve, do you have a definition that you could give me this morning about what is the size of God's hand? Brother Neil, can you give me a definition of how that we can measure the hand of Almighty God? How do you know what?
God.
How come my brother Daniel's already talked to us about using Webster? I don't know if Webster can describe the hand of Almighty God. I don't have no definition to give you of the hand of Almighty God. But there is one thing I can do. I can look across this congregation this morning and I can see what the hand of God has done. Come on, can you say amen? I've heard Brother Neil Bridges' testimony. I know what God has done for some of you, and you know what God has done for me. And we can look around this morning and we can see what the hand of Almighty God has done. But there are some scriptures within the Bible that lets us to know about the hand of God. In Isaiah 48, he said, my hand also have laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand have spanned the heaven. In Proverbs 30:4, he said, who have gathered the wind in his fist. Do you know anybody that's got a hand so powerful? Do you know anybody that's got a hand so great that can just gather the wind in his fist? Come on, I don't know anybody that is capable of doing that, but God's got a hand of doing it. And you think your problems are so great, and you think your troubles are so many. I want to tell you what God is wanting to do. He's wanting to get his hands on it. He's wanting to get his hands in it. And when God gets his hands on it, it'll make all of them different. Church, are we really praying this morning? Are we really, come on, help me right here for just a little while. I'll tell you what I'm a feeling. I'm a feeling a good Holy Ghost is wanting to help somebody right here this morning. Come on. You're saying, oh, Brother Lynn, I'm going to wait for the night. I want to tell you what, I believe God's got some other things for the night, but God's got something for you right here this morning, because God's hand is a reaching out unto you. Isaiah 40:12. He said, who hath measured the water in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in seals and the hills in a balance. Come on. I want to tell you, if you could get beyond your idea, if you could get beyond your opinion, we could get beyond how we felt about it, if we could get beyond what we thought about it, I want to tell you, and put it into the hands of Almighty God. Come on, church, come on. Help me right here for just a little while. I feel like there's somebody that God is a wanting to help, and somebody that the Holy Ghost is a wanting to minister to right here this morning, my friend. No wonder in Psalms 119, it says something like this. He said, Lord, let thine hand help me. Come on, can you say amen? Could that be the cry of somebody right here this morning that is under the sound of my voice? Lord, let thy hand help me. Come on, church. Come on. Oh, Lord of God. I know I'm a sounding repetitious about this, about come on, but I'm really wanting you to. I'm wanting the Lord to help us right here. I feel like that there is a need right here. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Lord, let thine hand help me. I feel like the Lord is wanting to get his hands in some things. I feel like the Lord is wanting to get his hands on some situations. I feel like the good Holy Ghost is wanting to get in somebody's life right here this morning, my friend, and he's a wanting to help you. Oh, glory to God. Come on, church, pray. If you've ever prayed for a country preacher, pray right now for this one, because I'm a feeling the need for God right here this morning. I'm a feeling a burden on my heart still right here this morning for somebody in this house. I'm just going to preach to you in my heart. I really am. I really am. I don't have anything cut and drive. I really don't. I really don't. But I do want to preach to you. If God will help me, if the Lord will help me right here this morning, won't you turn with me to John's Gospel? This is a story you don't have to if you don't want to, but if you'd love to. In John's Gospel this morning, the Lord dealt with me about this. What if they brought the woman that was taken in adultery, and they brought her to Jesus, And they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger. He wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, they went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, he said, woman, he said, where are those thine accusers? Have no man accused thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, he said, neither do I condemn thee. He said, go and sin no more. Do you know what it was here with the ones that brought this woman to Jesus that was taken in the very act of adultery? I'll tell you what they was looking at. They were looking at her failure. Come on, can you say amen? Come on, that's what gets our eyes a lot of time. We look at people's failures. Come on, and we look at their faults. Come on, we look at their shortcomings. Come on, here it was. They were looking at her failure. Come on. And there was no doubt, Brother Steve, that when they spoke about stoning her, that there was a fear that gripped her heart and a fear that come across her heart. Come on, help me right here. And they said, according to Moses and his law, she needs to be stoned to death. Come on. Can you say amen? Isn't it something sometimes the way that we look at some people, we'll say they know better than to doing what they're doing. They're not even fit to be saved. They'll never be able. Ain't you glad that we're not their judge? I'm glad that some people was not my judge, but they was a God in heaven that was merciful and long-suffering. Come on. You might be right here this morning, and you might be on the extended mercy of God. I want to tell you what, the God of heaven is still a reaching for somebody right here this morning that is in this house. Come on, help me right here. I don't know where you at, but I do know one thing. The Holy Ghost knows exactly where you at. Yes, I'd have liked to pursued and followed with what these other preachers preach right here this morning. But I've got this burden on my heart. I've got this right here on my heart. I'm a feeling the God of heaven is a reaching for somebody right here, my friend. I want to tell you what, they might be a lot that might be given up on you, and you might look at yourself as a failure, my friend, and come on, help me right here. And if we all got what according to the law, we'd all been stoned to death. I thank God for mercy, don't you? I don't know, come on, but did you know what? If the Lord began to deal with me about this morning, when Jesus took his finger, you know what he done? He got his hands in it. He got his hands on it. He began to say something. He didn't say one word. He didn't even open his mouth, but he did write something on the ground. Oh, help me, help me, help me while I preach. Help me while I preach. I've got my imagination, and you can use yours as of what that he wrote on the ground. I don't believe that he wrote an essay. I don't believe that he wrote a paragraph. I don't even believe that he wrote a sentence. I believe that he wrote one word on that ground. They were basing things according to the law of Moses. This woman should be stoned to death. She should be put to death according to the law of Moses. Come on. What did you say? No doubt her heart was a pounding. Fear had gripped her heart. And she probably felt, I'm fixing to get the verdict. I am fixing to be stoned to death. Come on, come on. Come on, help me. But I believe Jesus got down there. And on that ground, he made a big old G. Then he made a big old R. And then he made a big old A. And then he made a big old C. And then he made a big old E. And come on, Jesus didn't have to say one thing. When they looked down at the ground at what he had wrote, and when he said grace, come on, it is by the grace of God. Did you know probably those men that brought this woman no doubt was as guilty as she was. But when they saw grace, come on, can you say amen, help me? What was it? God got his hands in it. Jesus began to write on the ground. He took his finger and he wrote one little word. He got his hands in it. Come on, and he got his hands on it. I want to tell you right here this morning, I feel beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's somebody right here. You letting things overpower you. You are letting things overcome you. Come on, help me here. I want to tell you something. Listen to me, young girl. Listen to me, sir. Listen to me, ma'am. We need to get our eyes off of everybody else. We don't need to be comparing ourselves among ourselves. Come on, you know what? We got people this day and hour that's comparing themselves among others and about others. And they're saying, I'm just as good as they are. I'm a living better than they are. I'll tell you the one you'd better look to and compare yourself to, and that is to Jesus. Come on, can you say amen? Help me right here for just a little while. I feel like the Lord is wanting to get his hands on somebody right here this morning. I feel like the Lord is wanting to get his hands in somebody's life right here this morning. Come on, help me right here for just a little while. Oh, sweet Lamb of God, what is it? It's going to be by the grace of God. It is by his grace, my friend. Come on, help me. It's by his grace that Brother Leon Head stands right here. Yes, have you ever had problems, preacher? Have you ever had any troubles, preacher? Have you ever went any through trials, preacher? Yes, I've been through many of them. But did you know how I stand right here this morning? It's by the grace of God. It is grace, man. It is grace, sir. It is grace, lady. It is grace, sister. It's by the grace of Almighty God that you are here. It's by the grace of Almighty God. Come on, help me right here for just a little while. I'm a feeling the good Holy Ghost. I know that we've got some things among us that we cannot afford to pay to go on, but it's the grace of Almighty God that somebody right here is still in existence this morning, that God hasn't already come upon judgment upon you. Well, sweet Lamb of God. Help me, help me. Pray, pray, church. Pray, saints of God. We need the Lord to help us. We need the Lord right here to lead us. I don't know what time it is. I know you told me I had 50 minutes. I'm not concerned about that right now. But I'm telling you, somebody that's needing the grace of God. Come on, come on, come on. Help me. Help me, help me. When God is a reaching out, and when God is wanting to get his hands on your situation. Come on, come on, church. Come on, I'm glad, I'm glad. I'm glad to know that his arm, I'm glad to know that his hand is not shortened, that he cannot say. I know you're saying, oh, Brother Lynn, we come here this morning, you being the day speaker, the invited day speaker, to hear a different kind of preaching. We thought that you'd take us text and stay with it every day of the week. I'm sorry, I'm not that kind of a preacher. If the Lord dealt with me about it, I probably would. I could probably preach to you from the Ten Commandments. I could probably preach to you from different parables in the Bible. Come on and take a text and stay right with it. But I tell you how I operate is when the Spirit of the Lord deals with me down there. there in that little single wide trailer. And when the Holy Ghost, I didn't come here with nothing laid out. I didn't come here with five messages under my sleeve. I didn't come here that way. But I tell you how I come here, and that is to be obedient to the Holy Ghost and to be obedient to the Spirit of the Lord. Come on, can you say amen? But did you know what's going to cause us to have a camp meeting? Come on. And to cause us to see the Spirit of the Lord to move and to work in our midst among us. Come on. I know you got a great man that lives just about 30 or 40 miles down the road. I've already said it. I'm going to say it again. I don't think you could have got anybody any better. But Brother Steve Gentry, I know him well enough. And his mother's here, and I say it right here in the presence of his mother. And she's a precious woman. And she had a great husband. And he's gone on to his reward. He was a great man and a great preacher. Come on. But Brother Steve Gentry is not going to bring camp meeting. He does not have it in a briefcase. Come on. I know him well enough. But when we become obedient to the Spirit of God, come on, can you say amen? I'm not here trying to be popular. I'm not here saying I'm preaching another meeting. I'm not here looking for revivals and that kind of thing. I tell you what I am here for, and that is to see the hand of Almighty God to get a hold of somebody's life and to get a hold of somebody's trouble. And you leave this meeting right here a different way than you come. Come on, can you say amen? I don't know what you might be fretting about. I don't know what you might be worrying about. But when God gets his hands on it, come on, can you say amen? Oh, glory to God. I'm a feeling the Shekinah glory of God right here in this house. I'm a feeling the good Holy Ghost right here among us. But did you know what I'm a feeling? That is God's number one thing right here. I know Brother Neil's been getting up here. I'll agree with him. I'll agree with him 100%. If there's ever been a time that we need to put a premium on the Spirit of the Lord, it is in this hour. But did you know what God is concerned about? I believe it's somebody's soul right here that God is concerned about. That is the most important thing of all, is to see his soul say, come on, church. If there's ever been a day and a time I feel like we've lost our burden for lost souls, I've got lost loved one, you've got lost loved one, but what is it going to take? It's going to take the hand of God and God getting his hands upon them. Woo! Don't worry about me. I just get this way. I'm telling y'all how I'm a feeling right here. I'm a feeling right at home. I'm feeling right at home. Some of y'all have already told me, we want you just to make yourself at home. I'm making myself right at home. I'm making myself right at home. I really am. I really am. I really am. But I feel God reaching out. Reaching out. We sometimes we're like these men that brought this woman to Jesus. We look at her failure. We look at her failure. When all the time fear is gripping her heart. Come on, come on. Help me. Help me, help me. But for some reason or other, sitting around that little table right down there this morning, as the Lord began to deal with me, when we are looking at their failure, God is looking at their future. Come on, come on. Help me, help me. I'm going to tell you something. I can get up here and I'm all against it. I don't believe in homosexuals being behind the pulpit. I'm all against that. I'm all against it. I really am. I really am. I could preach all of that stuff. I could preach about homosexuality, lesbians, this kind of stuff. I'm against all of that. But I want to tell you something. Everybody is not one of them. Come on, can you say amen? And I don't believe they were born that way either. Come on. There are some that don't even have a desire to be like that, but there are spirits out there in our land. Come on, help me right here. And I know that we are battling, we are confronted with some things right now among us as a wholeness movement. Come on, that we've never been confronted with before. But I want to tell you something. I'm not looking for another way, are you? I'm not looking for another way. Come on. Come on, church. If we're going to depend upon organization, we're going to get what organization's got to offer. If you depend upon a social club, you're going to get what a social club's got to offer. When you depend upon education, I wished I had more of it, and I'm not fighting education. But when you depend upon education, you're going to get what education's got to offer. Come on, can you say amen? I know we've got some men. I don't know one thing about a computer. My wife, I mean, we've got one. We're not on the internet, none of that kind of stuff. Come on, I'm not against that. If you use it, you use it right. Come on. I don't know why in the world I've got right here on this, but nevertheless, I am. I'm here. I'm not against that stuff. Come on, can you say amen? But just because I don't know one thing about a computer, I've had a lot of preachers just come to me and said, Brother Lynn, you need to learn how to operate that computer. I know what they're talking about. It helped me to preach a lot better. I want to tell you what, and I need all the help that I can get. Come on. But I don't want one of those messages that is run off by a computer. Come on, can you say amen? Help me right here for just a little while. If y'all are here and doing it, and if y'all can preach them, so be it. Come on, help me right here. But it don't work that way for me. I'm just going to stick to the way that's been working for me. Come on, can you say amen? When we depend upon education, we're going to get what education has got to offer. But when we depend upon prayer, we're going to get what God has got to offer. Come on, you know what I believe I'll depend upon? I'll depend upon prayer and get what God has got to offer. Come on, church. You come on, help me right here for just a little while. I'm still feeling God's hand. It's still reached out right here this morning. Come on here. God's not looking at your failure, my friend. He doesn't want you to be a failure, but he's a looking at your future because he wants you to have a future. Come on, help me here. Help me here. I feel like the Lord's helping me. I really do. I really do. I really do. And it just come to my mind on the prodigal son. Come on, the elderly brother. We very seldom ever say anything about the elder brother. We always talk about the prodigal. Come on, I'm not making reference to you because you used that story last night. I use it. We all use it. But we are very seldom and we're quiet on the elder brother. Come on. But when the prodigal come home, oh, y'all gonna help me. Y'all gonna help me. Y'all gonna still love me. When the prodigal come home, you know what the elderly brother looked at? I've been right here with you all the time. You never gave me one of them little kid goats. You never done nothing like that for me. You know what the elder was looking at, still looking at? He was still looking at the failure of the prodigal. Come on, can you say amen? Did you know what we look at sometimes when one comes home and one begins to make their journey back home? We expect them to line right up to the tee. Come on, help me right here. How long did it take you to line up? How long did it take me to line up? Come on, help me right now. Am I doing all right? I might not ever come back here no more, but I want to preach to you my heart. I want to preach to you the burden of my heart. Come on, help. You didn't have your sleeve lead right when you got right. Come on, can you say amen? Come on, help me right here. You might not have had your hair right when you got right with God. Come on, help me. Come on, sweet Lamb of God. Did you know what we begin to look at? We begin to look at their failure, and we say they'll never get away from it. Brother Steve, the young man you talking about last night, as far as the world was concerned, they probably give up on him. There is no way he'll ever be straightened out. Them is some eggs you'll never get unscrambled. Come on, help me right here for just a little while. But when God got his hands on the situation, he put a home back together. He put a marriage back together. He got a little child so thrilled. He said, who gives this wife to be married to this man? The little child said, I do. Come on, I want to tell you what. What was it? I'll tell you what it was. It was God got his hands on the situation. And you know what God's wanting to do right here this morning? He's wanting to get his hands on some situations. Woo! Sweet Lamb of God. I feel what I'm feeling right here this morning. In this meeting, right here this week, God is wanting to get his hands. God wanting to get his hands on some things. God is wanting. Come on. Brother Archie Morgan, he's wanting to get his hands on some lives. Probably some of you have already noticed the last two times that we've eaten. Yesterday morning, it's just by coincidence, we got to sit down across the table from Brother Archie Morgan. Lo and behold, last night there was a spot available right there, and we sat down across the table from Brother Archie Morgan again. You know what? He was telling me about the manuscripts and telling me about the book that he's going to soon have published and try to have it out by the month of October. I'm not even going to have to buy it. I'm going to hear it live and in person. I mean, come on. I was trying to get away from him last night. Let me tell you one more thing. Let me tell you one more thing. Come on. But Brother Archie Morgan has not always been the Brother Archie Morgan that you knew. Come on, can you say amen? Come on, but God got his hands on his life. I am glad to hear, even at his age, what he's doing. Still got a radio broadcast in the spirit that he has got. But did you know what brought that about and how that was developed? It was to the fact that God got his hands upon him. I've known some people that has had a temper like a tiger. Come on, can you say amen? And they, I don't know why in the world I'm right here, but I'm here. And they said there is no way they'll ever be tamed down. There's no way they'll ever be able to get away with that and get by that and get over that. But I'll tell you how they done it. When God's hands got on it and the sanctifying power of God. I've known some people that were so engulfed with anger and bitterness. Come on, help me here. And covetous and all kind of things. But when God got his hands on that life, my friend, it made all of the difference in them. But did you know what I'm a feeling right here this morning? There is some of you that is under the sound of my voice right here. You've got some needs and you've got some problems and you've got some loved ones that it looked like all hope is gone. It looked like that there is no future. But I want to tell you what, and we look and we dwell on the failure. Come on. When it looks like there is a ray of hope that begins to spark up, it looks like they go out and they do something twice as bad. But I want to tell you something. I'm a licking on the hand of God because his hand is not short that he cannot say, preacher, if you ever pray, I'm a feeling like there's some right here this morning. You've got problems and you've got needs. Come on. I don't want to sound repetition from where I was at yesterday morning. But I tell you what some of us need to do right here this morning. We need to bring our needs around this altar and to give them to God and say, God, I'm getting it out of my hands and putting it to the hands of Almighty God. I want us to obey God. I really do. I really do. I really do. I really do. I want to tell you something. It's not how long that I preach. It's not fancy, elaborate words that gets the job done. But it's the Spirit of God. And when we become obedient to the Spirit of God. Come on, some of you know, as good as you see this preacher standing right here, in just about the center of this tabernacle, there is needs and there is problems that none of us is going to be able to meet unless we get it into the hands of God. While everybody's standing, while everybody's standing, some of you got problems. Some of you might have physical needs. Some of you might have financial needs. But our spiritual needs is the greatest needs of all. I could preach on and on to you about this, the things that the Lord dealt me about this morning. When the 5,000 was around Jesus there, and it didn't look like that they had sufficient enough to take care of them. And they said, I believe it was, what is it, 200 pennies worth? What is 200 pennies worth among so many? What is that among so many? But they looked around, and they said, there's a lad here. There's a little lad here. And when Jesus got it in his hands, and he began to bless it. And he began to break it. And they began to distribute it. I want to tell you, it becomes sufficient enough. And some left over. Some left over. Why? And what made the difference? God's hand. God's hand. God's hand got on it. While every head is bowed, somebody come to the piano, somebody wants to get a song. Ever how you want to do this morning? I probably haven't been here 50 minutes. But I want to give somebody time to pray. Church, if you've ever prayed, pray right here this morning. Pray right here this morning. Listen to me, ma'am. Listen to me, sir. Listen to me. If you're here this morning, and you know, nobody else has to tell you, you know you're not where you need to be with God. You're striving. You're struggling. You're wanting to be. There's a deep longing desire in your heart that you're wanting to be. I want to give you an invitation to come this morning. I want to give you an invitation to step out and to come and to seek the face of God. While someone plays, while someone sings, ever how they want to do it, I want to open this altar for you this morning. I want you to come. I want you to obey God. Appreciate these young men stepping out. Appreciate them coming. But there's others of you that's wanting to come. There's others wanting to come. Come. Come this morning. Come. There's needs right here among us. And there's some of you dear parents, and there's some of you dear grandparents. You prayed and you have fasted and you sought the face of God. And there's some of you mothers of Israel. And there's some of you brothers of Zion. Is holding on. But sometimes, we being human, we try to work it out in our own way. And we try to work it out in our own time. I want to give you an invitation to come this morning and just put it in the hands of God. God's hands. God's hands. How about it? How about it? That loved one you've been praying for so long. In spite of the more you pray and the more you fast, it looks like the worst that they get. But God's hand is still extended out. He's still reaching out. Come on this morning. Come on. Bring your burdens to the Lord. Bring them right here to the Lord this morning. Bring them. It might be a physical need that you've got. Come this morning. Come this morning and seek the face of God. It's by His grace. His grace. If we'd have got what the law had to offer us, we wouldn't have been right here. But grace. Grace is reaching out. Grace is reaching out.
Mercy, mercy. God's love and mercy that saved both you, you.
Pray on, church. Take time to pray. You got time to pray.